Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
All right, forget the introduction. Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall be the word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return unto me empty, but accomplish that for which it was sent. It was interesting when Graham asked me to speak this morning. I think it was back in November, Graham, or maybe earlier than that. As I left his office, that scripture literally started to resonate within my heart. And with no exaggeration, it stayed there for the next couple of weeks. Literally every day, at some stage in my work day, or if I was at home or whatever, that scripture started to resonate within my heart over and over and over. So is the word that shall go forth from my mouth. It will not return unto me void, but will accomplish that for which it was sent. That's the truth of God's word. Think about it for a minute. This word here, which we hold in our hands so easily, this is the word that created the heavens and the earth. This is the same word that brings hope to humanity. This is the same word that brought salvation to all humanity for those who cry out for it. This is the same word that raised Christ from the dead. This is the same word that Jesus himself ministered with during his time on earth. It's the same word that brings hope where there's no hope. It's the same word which brings life where there's death. The same word that God has given and spoken, he has given to us. That's an incredible, incredible gift when you think about it. And once again, I'll be honest, I know in my own life, and I've reflected a lot over the last Christmas holidays on this message, many times I realised, God, I'm sorry for taking it for granted. I'm sorry that I didn't keep it where it needs to be. Excuse my tears. And I found myself at times stopping and saying, God, I'm sorry. Your word was given to me that I can freely live according to your word every day. Not just me, that we can all do that. Yet let's be honest, sometimes we forget it. Sometimes we take it for granted. And sometimes we underestimate the power of the word of God in our lives. Excuse the passion. As I said, that's been going through my mind all summer. And God has challenged me a lot in my own personal walk in relation to his word. And that's what I want to speak on this morning, the gift of the word of God. It is an incredible gift. A gift that the church must not forget. And the church must not change to fit society's expectations. That's the easy thing to do. But God doesn't want that. Why? Because one day heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will endure forever. David Odd, 3 weeks ago, spoke on the importance of the word of God and how seriously God takes his word. And he challenged us to do the same thing. I wasn't there that morning. I was on holidays, dare I say. But I listened to the podcast. And as I listened to it, it became very obvious to me very quickly that God has a very clear message for us for this year. But I believe this morning's message is actually a very clear prophetic call for 2016. And I say that very deliberately, a prophetic call to us as a church, but more importantly, to us as individuals in his church for 2016. This morning, though, I believe God has given me a challenge for us all. He's calling out for a response from us, a response based on his word. And the response is this: he wants us this year to participate. And the term I believe he gave me was this, to participate in the principle of the fourth meal. The principle of the fourth meal. And I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute. But very early in the piece, the very first night I sat down after that scripture was resonating through my heart for a week or two, as I sat down to start to put some thoughts on paper, I believe God gave me a glimpse this year, and I deliberately use that word glimpse. He hasn't shown me everything, but a glimpse of what to expect this year for us as a church, but more importantly for you as individuals, if we're prepared to accept the challenge of the principle of the fourth meal, if we're prepared to seek him afresh through his word and through prayer, that I believe God will manifest himself in what he wants for us this year. Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you so much for this church. I thank you for every individual who sits in this room this morning. I thank you for every person who's currently serving in the life of the church and aren't here this morning. I pray for those who are not here but still call themselves part of LMC. I pray that, Father, this morning your heart will come through so clearly. That, Lord, your word will be spoken with clarity. that, Lord, your word will be spoken with your blessing and with your anointing. Holy Spirit, lead this morning. I need you to lead me. I don't want to stand up here and speak my words, for they are nothing compared to the words spoken from the heart of the Father. And I pray that this morning, God, that we would have ears to hear, the heart to receive, and even more importantly, the will to respond. And I pray this right now in Jesus' name. Amen. That last sentence God actually gave you 2 days ago, he said, I want you to pray this at the end. The ears to hear, the heart to respond, sorry, the heart to receive, but the will to respond. It's very easy to hear things. It's very easy to receive things, but it takes effort to step out and respond to those things. I believe that this year God is not simply inviting us, but he's actually asking and challenging us to seek him afresh this year through the daily reading of his word and prayer, to not allow the distractions and enticements of either our daily lives or the things of this world to cause us to forget or neglect spending time with him. God longs to commune with his children and to have an active and personal relationship with each one of us. But relationship can only be built through spending time with him and seeking his face. God is asking us to participate in the fourth meal, and I'll explain this in a minute. Each day, not some days, each day. And out of this, God's power, and I believe he wants me to emphasize this, and the integrity of his word, the integrity of his word will be manifested not just for us to see, but for us to experience in our life on a daily basis. Think about that for a minute. The integrity of his word, that we would not just see it with our eyes, we would experience it in its reality in our daily lives. I don't know about you, but that starts to get me excited. I desperately want to see the power of God and his word manifested in my life every day and our lives every day. We live in a time when this nation needs to see the power of God in all its glory. And guess what? It's going to come through us and through our lives. As a footnote, do I feel worthy? No. But it doesn't matter because God's grace is there for every one of us. I believe God is raising a standard. And I'm going to be bold enough to say, I believe this is what God has for us, not just for us, but the churches of this nation. And this standard is going to start with us. This standard will be based on his word and his word alone. Nothing more, nothing less. The same word that created the heavens and the earth, the same word that breathes and sustains all life, the same word that raised Christ from the dead, that heals the sick, that sets the oppressed free, that brings hope and life, that brings salvation to all who abide by it. I bought my tissues this morning. I'm excited to be ready for them. The same word that is alive and is active is sharper than any two-edged sword. This gift is God's word for us and for all churches who are willing to seek me and live accordingly. And as I wrote that down, I felt he gave me the scripture of Zechariah 4:6, that we will do this not by might, not by power, but by his spirit. It's not by how good we think we are. It's by the spirit inside of you and me that God's going to do this. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him or submit to him, and he will make your path straight. We aren't meant to live on our own understanding. I look back on my own life and so many times I know I've tripped up in my own life because I leant on my own understanding. I did it in my own strength. I'm slowly but surely learning, trusting God in everything. And he will make your path straight. So what's the fourth meal? You're probably already starting to work that out. And it's simply this. In fact, it's a really simple concept. And I suspect you haven't, it's not something you've probably heard before. It's simply this. I believe we have three meals a day, breakfast, lunch and dinner. I believe God wants us to add the fourth meal of a spiritual meal. That we would find time every day to speak into the hearts of our lives, into our minds with his word, and to seek him afresh. And like I said before, we do too easily neglect it. We too easily forget it. I know in the busyness of my own life, the demands of being a dad or being a husband or having to go to work, all those types of things. I know, looking back in my own past and go, gee, God, so many times I put your word in the 10th list on my for the day. Why do I do that? And God has really challenged me, certainly over the last 18 months, particularly this summer, about that. So he wants us to have a spiritual meal every day. And that as we do that, he will respond to us. What that looks like for you, he didn't give any specific examples. I believe that's something which you need to work out. I did ask a few people and it was interesting, I got the same response. How long does a meal normally take for breakfast? Well, we probably all shovel it down to get to work. But on average, everyone I asked said about 15 or 20 minutes. So find 15 or 20 minutes every day and get your Bible out and read it. And spend time with God and forget the things of the world just for that time. Forget all the things you have to do. Say, God, this is your time. And I'm going to guard it jealously. And that when we do, I know God will respond. Of course, like it said before, he said before, he wants a personal relationship with us. But we have to find the time to develop it. It was interesting last year on Pastor Howell's 99th birthday. He was interviewed by Graham. At the very end, he got up and he gave 3 points of what, I think it was 3 points, of what led to a happy life. His very first point was reading the Word of God every day. Reading it every day. And I love the term he used. In fact, I've heard you say it a few times over the years, Pastor Howell. The self-imposed discipline. Because at the end of the day, that's what it is. It's a self-imposed discipline. As a musician, if I don't have self-imposed discipline to practice my instrument, it won't work. And that's an absolute truth. You have to work at it and develop it. It's the same with our relationship with God. We need to find that time to spend with God. So why and how does God want us to build this within our life? Deuteronomy 6 gives a great example of what Moses commanded the Israelites to do before they moved into the promised land. I want to quickly go through and explain some of this. And just to put it in context, yeah, they haven't yet moved into the promised land. They haven't yet crossed over the River Jordan. They're about to. But God gave Moses very clear instructions of what he wanted them to do and how they needed to live once they crossed into the promised land. Because God knew, with all the blessings he was about to release upon them, that if they didn't guard their hearts and keep their minds and their focus back on him every day, all the blessings he has for them could become a distraction. And he says this, "These are the commands, decrees and laws the Lord your God direct me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing, the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children and their children, in other words, all future generations after them, may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you." So that was the first thing. He wanted them to obey the laws and the commands. We can apply that to today by saying we need to obey the word of God. And we need to know what the word of God is. But then it goes on. And these are the points I particularly want to talk about. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." That's the first command. Love God with everything within your being. With all your strength. If we all did that every day, our focus would always remain on our Father. Always. But secondly, he then goes on. "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. We now have the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, which will help us to understand the word of God, to help it to grow and develop within our hearts every day." The Israelites didn't have that, but we do under the new covenant. But then he goes on, "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up." So teach it to our kids. Graham, over the last few weeks, a few times has spoken about redigging the wells. And one of the things he said was it's important that we, as the older generation, share the memorial stone, share the word of what has happened in our lives to the younger generations, that they would follow God as well. That's exactly what's saying here in Deuteronomy. "Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on door frames of your houses and on your gates." So how do we apply that to our life today? I suspect if I went and put something like that on my forehead and walked around work, people would be thinking I was fairly unusual, or maybe try to recover my baldness there. I don't think God's necessarily asking that for us. I believe the point of this part of the scripture is God knew the Israelites had to have things in their life every day that would remind them of him, that would remind them of the commandments he gave them, of how he needed them to live. They didn't have the word that we have today. In fact, the New Testament wasn't even written. They couldn't have the opportunity to sit down like we do and open it up and read. They had to remember through what was taught to them through Moses and other people. So God had to have things that would physically remind them of his word and his commandments. This is our greatest example, our greatest thing which will remind us every day of his word. This is the focal point we can use. But we have to open it. I can look at it and see it. But unless I actually open it, it won't remind me necessarily. I have to read it again and again and again. God was giving the Israelites a very clear understanding of what he wanted them to do as they moved in the promised land. He knew the very things he wanted to bless them with would potentially distract them away from him. And at times it happened. He wanted them to guard their hearts, that all the blessings he had for them would be blessings, and that their focus would always remain on him. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength. Keep the commandments on our heart. Impress them on our children. Tie them as symbols upon us. And write them down at home. That's a sort of a paraphrase of what we've been reading. In other words, let's have a focal point in our lives every day of God's word. Deuteronomy 8 verses 3 says this, that we must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. You could reinterpret that for us today by saying this, we're not meant to live just on three meals a day. God wants us to live on every word that comes forth from his mouth. That's what we need to have in our lives. So I've got a question for you. And I honestly have challenged myself with this question over the summer holidays. If this is such a simple instruction by God, why do we so easily forget it or take it for granted? Why do we so easily try to do things in our own strength? And that's me to a T. I'm incredibly guilty of that. Of doing things in my own strength. I won't share it now, but the young adults have heard it. I went through an 8-year period in my life where God humbled me and made me realise I can't do it in my own strength. 8 years. I'm not saying that with any sense of pride, but man, I'm so grateful God did, because he changed my life, dramatically changed inside. It's still a work in progress. I know we say that, but it's true. I'm still learning. I'm still growing like we all are. But God needed to take my life and say, Mike, I want to do something inside of you first. So another question, what part does the word of God play in your life right now? And I'm not saying that with any sense of condemnation or rebuke. There's nothing like that at all. But have a think for a minute. In the last week, how often did you read God's word? When you went away on holidays, did you read God's word during that time? I had a really great break. And it's great to have a great holiday. I had one too. How often, I think David Odd said this, how much time do we spend with God compared to spending with social media? I think that in itself is one of the principal things I see young kids doing more and more. Not just young kids, adults too. Another question. So what do you need to do then to change that within your life? If you know right now that you are not spending time with God like he's asking us and wanting us to do, what do you need to do today to change that? What can you do today to change that? Proverbs 4 verse 20 to 22 says the following. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. We need to keep the word of God in our sight and keep it within our hearts. It's exactly what we talked about before. For it is life to those who find them. God's word is life. That's the truth. Amen. It is life. If ever we live in a time where there's so much negativity, so much death and doubt, which we see every day, I'll be honest, sometimes you think, my goodness me, there doesn't seem a lot of hope out there. But you know what? In God, there's always hope. There is always life. But when it says to those you find them, it tells me two things. We have to go looking for it. We have to go and seek it out. But sadly, a second point tells me something too. Some people may not go looking for it. Some people might decide, no, I don't need to. How tragic. Very, very quickly, what happens when we read the Word of God? And this is not an exhaustive list. This is just a few points I wanted to reflect on very quickly. First of all, when we read the Word of God, it gives us faith. Romans 10:17. It feeds your heart and your soul. Jeremiah 15 and 16. It does transform our mind. Romans 12:2. It gives us all we need to live a godly life, to live a life in a godly manner. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. We are blessed. And David spoke on that. Psalm 1, 1 to 3. Go and read Psalm 1, the whole thing. It's an incredible passage there. And last but not least, the Word of God is alive. The Word of God is alive. This is not a dead document. This is not something which simply we print and has no substance to it. This is the very heart of our Father. Why does the Word return unto Him? And why does the Word always accomplish what that word is sent for? Sorry. Why? Because it's spoken from the very heart of the Father. If His Word didn't do that, He's denying Himself. Because this is Him. This is His whole being here. It is His Word. I believe God has really given us a very clear challenge, and I hope that this morning, in amongst my own emotion, that I've been able to say it clearly. God is challenging us this year to seek in His face afresh, to spending time every day seeking Him using the principle of the fourth meal. I don't believe these are just my words because it's a nice thing to say. I can honestly say I believe this is coming from the heart of the Father. And I say that with complete humility. He wants us to seek Him afresh. And He has things which He's going to manifest this year for us as a church and for you as individuals if we're prepared to do that. Nicole spoke on New Year's resolutions. I pray this is one resolution you'd accept today. Graham challenged us on redigging the wells. In fact, one of the things he said was he believed that God also was challenging us afresh to prayer and reading God's word. Graham didn't know I was speaking about this morning when he prepared that sermon. David spoke on the importance of taking God's word seriously. Chris challenged us on seeking God afresh this year. Sound familiar? And seeking Him with all our hearts. And he gave a great question, in fact a few. He said, is 2016 going to be something of the same or another year of the same? Is it? I pray this year it's not. Not to say that 2015 wasn't great. I don't want 2016 to be the same. Personally, I want to get more of God in my life. I need that in my family's life. But I want to see God in all His glory manifested upon this land. Excuse me. I'll be honest, sometimes I start speaking prophetically, and I believe this is prophetic. I get teary. I get really embarrassed, to be honest, but God told me why. It's okay. That's why I bought my tissues. I suspect it was going to happen. This country needs to hear the word of God again. It needs to be spoken with clarity and with power and uncompromised. It has to be. We must not compromise His word. It's vital. And I believe if we have a church, and I know we are, this is a Bible-speaking church, I know that. I'm sure there's many other churches out there too. But if we are prepared to do that, then God's blessing will remain upon this church. And we will fulfill the call God has upon these churches, and we will fulfill what the call God has on our lives personally. So shall be the word that goes forth from God's mouth. It will not return unto Him void, but will always accomplish that for which it was sent. That's God's word. What could church look like today or this year if we all said, you know what, let's all do this together. You know what, I'm going to commit one to another, we're going to commit to seeking God afresh. Not the person beside you, you commit to it. And if we all did that, what could church look like? What could church look like this year? Very quickly, I'm going to say a few things prophetically now, but very quickly, this is just my opinion. I'm not saying this in any prophetic sense from God, but I've heard for many years that we're waiting for the next outpouring of the Holy Spirit, or we're waiting for the next revival to fall upon this land. Now, I'm not saying that to be critical of those who have spoken like that, but I think we've got it wrong. God has already poured out his Spirit. He poured out on the day of Pentecost. He's never taken his Spirit back. He's already poured it out. I don't think it's God. I don't think it's us waiting for God. I think God's waiting for us. I think God's waiting for his children to humble themselves and pray. To forget the things of this world. It doesn't mean we can't still live in the world. Obviously we have to. But our focus must never be on the things of this world. They have to always remain on God. And dare I say, I believe that if we did that as a church, then God would prove himself through his word. Of course he has to, because it says it will not return unto him void. He can't deny his word. I pray this morning, as I shared that, I pray that the heart of what God's trying to say came through clearly. The very first night I sat down to prepare this message, I was about to start writing, and I felt that God, the Holy Spirit, start to say some things. The first thing I heard was, I believe this can be a breakout year. I heard that so clearly. This can be a breakout year. But then he went on, and I saw, well, I didn't see, so I felt, heard these words. There are people here, you've had mountains in your life for a long time. Mountains in your life that you thought you could never get over or would never fall. And he gave me four things in particular, but I do not believe it's just restricted to these four things. It could be a physical thing. There's a physical need in your body you've been facing for a long time, or maybe even a short time. God wants to break that mountain and make it fall. It could be spiritual, emotional, or financial. But as I wrote that down, I felt the words ring through my mind, don't give up. Don't give up. If that mountain is still there, don't give up. God will prove himself. He will prove himself. And secondly, and it's interesting that Graham mentioned this morning that they're needing more leaders. I felt that God wanted to encourage us all with this. There are people sitting here where spiritual gifts or spiritual abilities or gifts and talents have been dormant in your life. I believe that God wants to raise up those spiritual gifts once again. He wants to reignite that spiritual gift within you and for you to start to function and express it in the life of this church and in your everyday life. I think for some as well, for some of you, maybe there's gifts in your life right now you've never actually realised were there. God wants to start to show you what he has got for you. And he wants to start to release that if you're prepared to seek him. We need the spiritual gifts functioning in the church every day. We need the spiritual gifts functioning in the life of the church. They're not meant to be talked about and spoken about. He wants us to use them. Not to promote ourselves. Why? To promote God. To bring the focus back to God and to minister to his people. In particular, I think I shared this with Nicole and Andy in a text before the camp. I do believe that I actually saw the young people praying and laying hands on each other. I know you do this already. But I actually believe in particular this year God wants to release the spiritual gifts in a more significant way. That in the extent that it's going to become so natural, it's normal. It's just going to be normal. They'll just be used to functioning like that. I encourage you, young people, search it out, seek it out. Young adults, I'm going to move a little bit quickly now because I'm a little bit pressed for time. I went for a bike ride a couple of weeks ago and I was thinking about this message. And as I was riding, I got a picture of this pool and I saw all the young adults, not all of them, but some of the young adults all sitting in the pool swimming. And you were enjoying the pool because it was obviously very refreshing. It was a hot day. But some of you were sitting there and you sat with your legs dangling over the side, like, you know, you do, like, don't get fully in, but you just dangle on the side there. And some of you just walked around the pool and you dipped your toe in, you'd pulled it out again. You loved what that felt like, but you didn't want to jump in. And the young adults who were in the pool saying, come in, come in, come and get in. But you didn't. And I said, God, what do you mean by this word? And he says this, I am the pool. I'm the pool. Those who have jumped in, they're enjoying the blessings and the things I have for them. They're enjoying my whole being in the relationship with me. But there's some who sit on the side and they have their feet dangling in, or they just dip their toe in because they're too scared to jump in. They don't want to get wet. They don't want to take the commitment to actually jump in and enjoy what God has for them. They're scared if they do, they'll lose the things of their life. And in fact, at one stage, Chris got out of the pool and he got up and he walked around. He said, "Get in the pool, get in the pool." He didn't push you in though, he can't. He said, "Get in." He encouraged you to get in. But he can't push you in because you have to decide. And God gave me this verse, and I'm sure you know it. It was this: "He who finds his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake, he'll still find it." You want to find everything God has for you? Lose your life in God.